This morning, if you brought your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We will be looking at a few verses in that chapter, verses 12 to 15. If you remember, and if you were here, I think it's about 4 weeks ago, when I did a message that was in regards to this life's choices matter in all eternity. And really, how we live our lives here really will matter for all eternity according to the Scriptures. And so, just want to do a bit of a review. And we talked about the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ, which is for all believers, found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, which is not the same as the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment, according to Revelation 20, verse 11, is the judgment for all believers. The great white throne judgment is about condemnation. They will be condemned, unbelievers, and sent into the lake of fire for all eternity. For the believer, the Bema seat is not about condemnation, but rather about our works will be judged. And that which is done in the right motive to the glory of God will be rewarded, but the Christian will not be condemned. And we need to keep that very, very clear. They are two totally different judgments with two totally different kinds of people that are going to be there. So all believers will appear before the Bema seat of Christ to receive what is due to them based on the things they've done, the Bible says, while in the body, or that could be said in a different way, while in this physical body, meaning while we lived our lives here on this earth. That is what will be rewarded. Or if it's done for selfish purposes and not to the glory of God, those works will burn up. So we looked at that your eternal destiny is based on your belief. Where you spend eternity is based on what you believe. Have we trusted Jesus? Have we trusted His Word? Are we trusting in Him and Him alone for our salvation? And if we have, that means then we will spend eternity with the Lord. The Bible says this, to be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. And what you believe then determines where you will spend eternity. So that means it's extremely important what we believe. We must believe the one true message that comes from God and God alone, that's found in the Word of God. Then we trust Jesus based on the Word of God, and that guarantees we will spend eternity with Him. Now, what you believe determines then where you will spend eternity. We either spend eternity with the Lord, as we find in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, to be with the Lord forever, or if we believe the wrong thing or don't believe God and His message, then we will spend eternity in eternal torment and separation from God in a place called the lake of fire. So what you believe determines where you will spend eternity. The second point was, your behavior determines how you will spend eternity. Now we think, well, you know what, we're saved by grace through faith alone, and it's all grace, and it is, but you know what? We should never, ever become lighthearted about how we live our lives. That's a problem sometimes in the Christian circle. We somehow, well, we're under grace, so what? And we have this attitude that says it doesn't matter how we live. No, it matters big time how we live. It matters whether my life brings glory to God or not. Our actions. The Bible talks about that, and we'll talk about that more. And that's what I talked about last time, found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So clearly, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, that each one may receive what is due him for what? For the things done or we could say the works while in the body, whether good or bad. Good means if it's going to benefit the kingdom of God. If it's going to benefit and bring glory to God, then we will be rewarded. If not, if it's bad, it means intrinsically worthless. If we've chosen to live and act in a way that is intrinsically worthless, then God can't reward that. That will burn up when we come before the Bema Seat of Christ. Ephesians 2:10, it talks about that we were created unto good works. Well, the rewards are for what? The rewards aren't for believing, but they're for doing the right thing. So I could put it this way. Rewards are for doing works rather than a gift, which is salvation, for believing. We need to get that straight. And that is so clear in Scripture. Each one may receive, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body. In plain words, what we do while we're living in this body, our daily actions, choices we make a big difference how we will spend eternity and what kind of rewards we will be given. That's pretty clear in Scripture. Clearly, when it says this, that each one may receive what is due him, clearly indicating a reward or repayment. Jesus himself said it many times. Great is your reward in heaven. Great are your rewards. Wow, that is important. So unrepentant sin, I'm going to say this, listen carefully, unrepented sin. If we've got sin in our lives, we know of it. We know we're living in sin, but we don't repent. Even though we don't repent, it will not cause the believer to miss the rapture. The believer is still going to glory. Now, I'm not giving permission to sin or to be lighthearted about sin. I'm just stating reality according to the Scriptures. So unrepented sin will not cause you to miss the rapture. Unrepented sin will not cause you to miss the Bema Seat of Christ either. We will still come before the Bema Seat of Christ. Not serving God wholeheartedly with what he has entrusted to us will also not cause us to miss the rapture, but it will also not cause us to miss the Bema Seat. We will still come before the Bema Seat. Very important biblical truths. So the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for all born-again believers must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Notice what it's saying. We must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. These things will all affect your rewards. Therefore, this is a serious matter in the life of every Christian. In the life of every Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It says this. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Now, there's a point when we're infants in Christ. Now, what was Paul addressing? To the Corinthians, he was addressing all kinds of sin issues and immature Christians. But he was clearly addressing things that were dishonoring to God that the babes in Christ were still involved in. Now, will that cause them to miss the rapture? No, they'll still go up to glory. But they will, after they've been raptured, come before the Bema Seat of Christ in heaven, where each one must give an account. And then the Bible says in verse 8, I believe it is, they will each be rewarded. Now, it's in the same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. They will each be rewarded according to their own labor. Well, what's that talking about? According to what? They will receive pay for service. That word rewarded means pay for service, clearly in Scripture. So God will reward. He will pay us. There's going to be payment handed out in glory. clearly according to the Word of God. For what? For their own labor. Meaning, the word own is important there because I'm not responsible for your works in your life. You're not responsible for the works in my life. I'm responsible. I will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I will give an account for my life and my works in my life and my labor that I've done in the power of God's grace to His glory. Or if I did it in selfish purposes or in selfish motives, that will not be rewarded. So, if Christians can sin, and we all do, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, let me say it again. If Christians can sin, and we all do according to Scripture, and we will still go to heaven, and we will, even though we sin, if it doesn't affect their relationship with God at all, now and in all eternity, why should anyone seek to live a life consistent with who they are in Christ or live a life that honors and glorifies God? That's a powerful question. Well, let me put it this way. If, and it's true that we all sin, we're still going to go to glory. We're not going to lose our salvation just because the Christian sins one day. In fact, we sin every day in word, thought, or deed. None of us live a perfect sinless life, although we're sinless in spirit, but our lives are not sinless the way we live. We will not miss glory, but we'll also not miss the Bema seat. Okay? The question is, since that is true according to Scripture, we'll still go to glory, why is it then important for us to live a life that honors God? Why is it important? Because it will affect us for all eternity. It will affect the rewards we get. It will affect on how we live in the presence of God for all eternity. Now let me tell you, is that a reason important enough to live a life here that honors God? If it's going to affect my life, if it's going to affect me for all eternity, is it worth taking note of? Is it, my friends? Is it worth taking note of how we live? Yeah, absolutely. We should be taking note of how we live. The question is, as Christians, are we being the salt and the light that God called us to be? As Christians, are we yielded to the Spirit of God in our lives every day so that our lives will produce the fruit from within, the fruit of the Spirit that will glorify God? Are we living a life that's yielded so that the flesh can't have its way, but the Spirit of God will have His way in our lives? Why is that important? Because it will affect me and you as believers for all eternity. If it's going to affect me for one day, I'll say, forget it, don't bother, don't, you know, just leave it. But if it's going to affect my eternity, it's worth taking note of. Amen? Wow, it's important. It's very important. So, not to make it our goal to please God would simply be foolish, it would be selfish, it would be immature, and it would be extremely dangerous. It would be extremely dangerous. Not because we're going to lose our salvation, but it's going to affect how I will spend eternity in the presence of God. There are definitely many blessings for serving God, being surrendered in this life, that we will experience while we're here in this life. You know, when you and I surrender to God, there's going to be some hardships because the enemy will come against us. But when we're surrendered to God, we are going to enjoy all kinds of blessings. I mean, I can tell you right now, small issue. But there was days when I said to myself, why did I say yes to speaking at the special needs camp? Why? I could have just said no. I'm not the man for it. I could have just said no. But I didn't. Why not? Because God, the Holy Spirit, was moving me and saying, you need to go. And during the time before it was happening, I was nervous. I had to pray, God, give me your grace. Give me strength. I don't know what I'm facing. I don't know how I'll minister to these people. But you know the blessing now and the blessing during that week? Every day, Ann and I, we said, wow, 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 God is at work. And we enjoyed that blessing. There's many blessings while we're here on earth when we walk surrendered. But that pales in comparison to the blessings unlimited we will enjoy for all eternity. So is it important? Yes, it is, that we surrender and live lives here that honor and glorify God. Absolutely. Our focus today is how our present life as a Christian affects our lives for all eternity. The rewards the Bible speaks about are God's guaranteed response. God's guaranteed response to specific actions on the believer's part that will continue to affect them for all eternity. The rewards are not a result of asking for them. We never ask God for rewards. God's already promised that our works done to His glory will be rewarded. So the rewards are not a result of asking for them, but a result of doing that which honors God here in this life. We don't ask for it. We just yield and live a life that glorifies God. And as a result, it's God's guaranteed promise to reward us in heaven. Wow, I don't know about you, but there's days when I'm really, really looking forward to those rewards. I don't know what that'll actually exactly look like, but I know it's going to go on and on and on and on for all eternity. And that is exciting. They do not come now, but they come later after the rapture. Right now, you might be thinking to yourself, but I don't deserve a reward. Or if I spend eternity in the presence of Jesus, you might be thinking, what more could I ever ask? I will be in the presence of Jesus. And that is, I mean, as long as I just get there, that's all I would ever ask for. Well, let me tell you, God promises you even much more than that. Not only will you be in His presence, but He's going to be giving you great rewards for all eternity that you'll enjoy. Wow. So never settle for, oh, well, as long as I just get there. If this wasn't of utmost importance, and if it wasn't relevant for us to consider, then God wouldn't have given us any word about this in the pages of His inspired word, the Bible. Then He wouldn't have talked about it. But God talks about it quite extensively, and so it's important. Let me tell you this, 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but man spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It was God's will that He would inspire men to write about His rewards that we can enjoy for all eternity. It was inspired by God the Holy Spirit. Is it important to God? Yes, it is. If it's important to Him, should it be important to us? So let's look today at this passage. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what he has built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Did you notice? Loss in heaven. Yes. What? Loss in heaven? Yes. We can actually experience loss in heaven. The loss of the rewards that we could have had. Wow, that's what God's talking about. So what does it say? Each will give an account of himself to God. Oh, I'll tell you this. We love to blame others. Oh, we love to blame something, someone or something. But the Bible says that will not pass. I can't blame someone and I can't blame something, because each will give an account of himself before God. Romans 14, 12, the word of God. You know what the word account means? The word account means something said, including a thought or reasoning or a motive or a declaration. In plain words, He is saying when we come before the Bema seat of Christ, each one of us, we will give a detailed account of our lives. When we step up before Jesus, we're going to answer for the actions while we were here on earth. And you know what? We might miss out on amazing rewards. And maybe you've sensed God calling you to get involved in some kind of kingdom work in the church. Maybe, yeah, I need to do this, but oh, I don't want to because it's going to cause me too much, havoc in my life. I won't have the freedom I have now. And then I'm not free to do this, and I'm not free to do this. I'll be tied down and all that. You know what? One day, we're just going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to say, how come when I give you the opportunity to enjoy all the blessings and to serve and to glorify me and to honor me and to, be involved in sharing the word of God, and you didn't. You just went your own way. Give an account, and we'll give an account. There is no such a thing as that we're just going to remain silent. The Bible says we will give an account. We will be speaking. We will not just be quiet before Almighty God. When we face him face to face, we will speak. Although we're already in heaven when that happens, but we're going to give an account. And we're going to say, yes, Jesus, I agree. That needs to be burned up. I agree. No rewards for that. The Bible tells us this. We will all give an account. And then, what is it? It's amazing. Now, I want us to note, it says each individually, not together with someone else. We're not going to be there in a group. Oh, let's, 10 of us, it's just so much easier on stage if we have someone with us, right? It's so much easier. There's no problem. I'll tell you, when that time comes, each of us will stand alone, individually, before our Maker. And we will give an account. Each one will. So each individually, each one will. Not a maybe. It's not a maybe. We will stand before the Bema Seat of Christ. Now remember, the Bema Seat is a reward ceremony. It's not a place of condemnation. Okay? Now each individual will give an account or answer for the way we lived our lives here on earth. And each individual give an account of what? Of himself, not for someone else, and for the works we did, their work, their each person's deeds we'll give an account for. So each individual will give an account of himself to God, to Jesus, the God who created you and redeemed us from sin and death. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. 2 Timothy 4:8. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. Not only that he exists, but what else? That he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That word reward is the word payment, wages. He will repay us. So if you think you're not noticed, it's not about being noticed here. It's not about your name becoming famous. It's not about, oh yeah, you know what? Oh, we got to give you all the accolades and all the pat on the back all the time. It's not about that. It's about what we do to the glory of God, and God will not miss it. I need to believe that he will reward us. And it's not about having a reward here on earth. Oh, we love to be acknowledged here. My friends, just serve God. Don't worry about acknowledgement here. Don't worry about getting a name and fame. It's not about that. It's about, does it honor God? It doesn't matter if my name is ever mentioned again. If it's done for the glory of God, that's what counts. That's what will be rewarded. Not whether my name is mentioned here, not whether someone gives me accolades. That's not what it's about, okay? Doesn't mean we shouldn't honor people, but our motive shouldn't be that. Luke 6:23, Jesus used the words, great is your reward in heaven. Notice, in heaven, great is your reward. Reward, the word reward means payment for service or wages. Mark 9:41, anyone who gives a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Notice again, I said before, loss in heaven. Yeah, we can lose rewards in heaven. But even a cup of water in Jesus' name, the reward will not be lost. You know, God is a God of detail. He will reward everything done for His glory. Wow, the smallest thing. Luke 14:14, although they cannot repay you, you will be what? Repaid. Repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The King James says, they shall be recompensed. And that word means to give, to repay, the repayment, to give back in return. So, wow. Remember, God is the great remunerator. God is a great remunerator. Like sometimes when you go serve somewhere, I speak in a different place, they give you a remuneration. But that shouldn't be our motive. Great if they do, but God is the great remunerator. He's the great remunerator. He's the great rewarder. Rewards, every child of God must believe. We must believe that Jesus is the one who will fully, absolutely, fully reimburse each one for what you did on His behalf. He will pay you back for the work and services done according to God's word if it is done with the right motive. You know how big motives are? You know how big it is that our heart motive is right? If it's done selfishly, man, I can preach some good messages and people can get saved and people can, you know, be motivated to serve God. But if I've done it because, well, look how good a sermon I preached, that's the wrong motive. That effort won't be rewarded. But if I do it to the glory of God, that will be rewarded. So, back to 2 Timothy 4:8, the Lord, the righteous judge, will, what? Award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for His appearing. That word award means to give away or to give back. So it lines up with reward or award. Wow, Jesus will be giving out awards and rewards. Secondly, the purpose of the Bema Seat. What's the purpose of the Bema Seat? This is obviously just for believers. The primary purpose is not loss, but gain. I don't want to get this wrong. Like some people, oh my goodness, this is scary. We're going to stand before Jesus and you know, and I know I've failed in so many ways, and so it's just scary. No, the primary purpose for the Bema Seat is not loss, but gain. It is God's greatest desire that He would be able to speak over you and just say, here are your rewards. That would give Jesus the greatest blessing and privilege. Wow, that's what He wants. It's not a place of condemnation. So it says clearly in our text, the purpose is to reveal each man's work for what it is. So the first purpose of the Bema Seat is to reveal or to show. The believer's works will be made plain and transparent. You know, you can hide something here, but I'll tell you, when you stand before Jesus, the Bema Seat, there's no more hiding. The purpose is to reveal and to make apparent. Note the phrases. Listen to this. The phrases. His work will be shown for what it is. The day will bring it to light. It will be revealed by fire. The King James says manifest, shining. It will be apparent. It will be publicly and openly apparent and outwardly apparent what our works were like. And it will be made plain. It will be declared. It will be plain. It will be revealed, meaning the cover will be taken off. It will be entirely disclosed. We will no longer be able to cover everything up or anything. Why? Because we're standing at the Bema Seat already in heaven before Almighty God, who will not, he cannot, like, overlook something. So it would be totally be revealed. So the purpose is to reveal. Clearly the first purpose of the Bema Seat is to reveal or show our works for what they are, to make them plain and apparent. And you know what? How big motive is in that? Like, it's amazing. Ask yourself sometimes, when you're maybe contemplating something, or thinking about how you might want to honor God, ask yourself, what's my motive in all of this? Just check your own motives. You have done that? I sometimes ask myself, what's my motive? What's my motive in this? And boy, I'll tell you, it's not long, and sometimes you find, oh, I have a little selfish motive in this. If I do this, you know, if I really, really teach my kids in the way of the Lord, and that my kids really, really walk in the way of the Lord, and my kids honor God, you know what? That's going to make me look like a great daddy. Wrong motive. Did you just hear that? Wrong motive. Wrong motive. Our motive should be to teach those kids to love Jesus and to honor Jesus, not to make me look good. Wow. Motive will be big in heaven. Yeah, that might make us look good in the eyes of people, but that shouldn't be our motive. Second purpose is to test the quality of each man's work, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. Note what is being tested here. The believer is not being tested here. The believer's faith is not being tested here. The believer's eternal destiny is not being tested here. So what is being tested here? The answer is the believer's works, the believer's deeds, the believer's lifestyle. This is like an evaluation or an appraisal to determine the quality of every believer's work done while on earth. This has nothing to do with condemnation. The purpose is not condemnation, because Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. God can't tell us in his word there is no condemnation for the believer, and then when we get to the bema seat, then condemn us. God can't do that, and he will not do that. No, the purpose isn't condemnation. It's to test the quality of our work. So the foundation is Jesus in this chapter. Clearly, verse 11, for no one can lay another foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus. So the foundation is Jesus. The test of fire will determine the quality. This will separate, listen to this, this will separate our religious acts from the genuine Christian life. Lived out from inside, the person of Jesus living his life in and through me. Religious acts are very different than Jesus living his life in and through me. Two very separate things, very opposite things. You know what? We talk about it will be tested by fire, revealed by fire. I can tell you right now, years ago, and you've probably shared this before, when I worked in Thompson, Manitoba, in the nickel mine, I saw huge, huge, big, round tubs. I don't know how big they were, maybe 50 feet in diameter. And I was underground, and we were oring nickel ore. And then when I come up and I went into the smelting plant, what I saw was the nickel ore bubbling and bubbling. That's refining by fire. That's refining by fire. That gives us a bit of a glimpse. Wow, there will be purification. Then thirdly, the result of the bema seat is what? What's the result? To receive his reward or to suffer loss. To each receive his reward, verse 14. That each one might receive his reward or our reward. So, if any man builds on this foundation, verse 11, which is Christ, using gold, silver, and costly stones, this represents what deeds were done by faith in Jesus' name, in the right motive, to the glory of God. That will be reward. The foundation is Jesus, so it must be done in his name. It must be done by faith. It must be done by the right motive. And it must be done to glorify God. Wow, are our works in this life important? Absolutely they're important. You know what? This only reminds me that God's deepest desire is that he has the freedom to live his life in and through us, and that he be glorified, and that when you and I go out into the workforce, when you and I go out into our lives every day, and we meet people, and we walk in this earth, and whatever we do and wherever we go, it is God's desire that we, the body of Christ, should live lives that honor him so that he will be seen in us. The world must be able to see that God's people are living different than the world. That's important. And that will be rewarded when we do. Sometimes we just kind of like blend in. And then we get together with unbelievers and we just cower and we take on their lifestyle. And somehow our lives are no light, and there's no salt. Salt has lost its saltiness. Is it important? Absolutely. Absolutely. So Our rewards will reflect the extent of God's glory that we reflected through our actions while on earth. Pastor Dan spoke last Sunday, and he made it very clear after an amazing sermon, an amazing message from God, that it's not about trying harder. It's not about self-effort. And that is not what I'm promoting today. I am saying the Word of God clearly teaches that Jesus is the foundation. And it has to be done in Jesus' name and in Jesus' power, in the power of His grace, to the glory of God. Then it will be rewarded. It's not about self-effort. Self-effort will not be rewarded. In fact, that could cause us to lose our rewards. Allowing Christ to live His life in and through us will be rewarded. How do I know that? Because Romans 6 clearly talks about, it talks about offering ourselves to God and offering what? Every part of our body is an instrument for His glory. So to suffer loss, verse 15, suffer loss in heaven? Yes, absolutely. If any man builds on wood, hay, or straw, what does that represent? That represents all that was done in the efforts of the flesh, our own energy, or with the wrong motive. Wood, hay, or straw. Wow. If we do it in that way, we will suffer loss. Now let me say it again. Not a loss of salvation. What does the word says? Say right here. They will be saved. They will be saved. But there will be a loss. So let me close with this. Clearly, I want to say this. Let's live with intention. Live intentionally. Live wholeheartedly for the glory of God. Yield yourselves and your entire body to the glory of God. And I need to do that daily as well. Wow. And then we can do that wholeheartedly for the day of celebration and for the day of reward, and we will not be disappointed. Not to strain or struggle in our own ability, but rather living by faith, yielded moment by moment. What does 2 John verse 8 say? Watch out that you do not lose what you've worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. How will we lose? If it's done in self-effort, for self and in selfish motives, then we will lose our rewards. Wow. And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, I think we're all confident, Christ will appear because He said He would. He's coming back. He's coming back. I'm waiting for that time when He's going to come and the rapture will take place. So, and now, dear children, meaning God's children, continue in Him so that when He appears, notice what He's saying, continue in Him, not in self-effort, not for self-glory. Continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be what? Confident, not ashamed, but unashamed before Him at His coming. 1 John 2:28. I would say it this way. There is only one person who can live the perfect Christian life. There's only one person, and that is Jesus Himself. And so there's only the one person that can somehow bring glory to God, and that's Jesus Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. So it's not about self-effort. It's about works being done. In plain words, it's about when we allow Jesus to live in us and through us. Then there will be works, deeds, for the glory of God. That will be rewarded. And every single deed done will be rewarded. He won't miss any. You know what? We can look forward to this great, great time of that reward ceremony. I'll close with Colossians 1:27. It says, Christ in you, in the believer, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's no other way that we will bring glory to God but Christ in us and through us. That is the only way. Wow. God bless you. May you be encouraged. Remember, this Bema is not about condemnation, and it's not about loss. It's about, or that God intends to take away. He wants to reward, but he has to be true to himself. Let's live for the day of that great reward ceremony. And then we know from that point on, it will affect our lives in all eternity. Like, I don't even know what that's like. A million years, and I'll still be enjoying the benefits of the rewards in glory. Wow. Is that worth taking note of? Yeah, let's close. Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the powerful words of Scripture. And thank you that you instruct us. And you don't leave us hanging. You give us those amazing clarity about the two different judgments, very, very different. The reward ceremony for your children and the condemnation of the unbeliever who simply rejected you. And then you tell us, great will be our rewards. God, we don't fully understand what that means. But I do know, because of your greatness, because you're a God unlimited in power and wisdom and strength, I can only imagine what that means when you say, great will be your rewards in heaven. God, thank you for giving us the clarity in your word. But I also realize this morning that there's days when we do things out of selfish motives. There's days when we do not walk in yieldedness. We confess that as sin before you. So I pray, Lord, that this morning as we leave here, you might continue to speak to us, that you might continue to remind us of what we heard when we go out into the world. Every minute, every hour, every day, that we would go with the motive to make Jesus famous, to bring glory to your name. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Have a great and amazing week.